Virginia Public Radio is underwritten by the Virginia Education Association. Teaching, learning, leading.
When a Native American tribe builds a casino on its reservation, there's usually not much fuss about it. But building one 50 miles away is a different story, as we hear from David Poole with the Virginia Public Access Project.
The story is by Joanne Kimberline and Gordon Rago of the Virginian Pilot. There's a lot of talk these days about casino gambling in various cities across Virginia. In fact, there's two in Hampton Roads, but one of these is a proposal by the Pamunkey tribe, which has federal recognition and has the right to open a casino on ancestral land. And they've chosen 20 acres near the baseball park in Norfolk. It has the support of the city, and it was released recently with big fanfare. However, one tribe, the Nansemans, are disputing the Pamunkey's claim to this land. They said the Nansemans tribe actually was from that area. The Pamunkeys were further inland, and that they didn't hear anything about this until it was publicly announced.
Now, if a tribe wants to have a casino off its reservation, the law says it must be on that tribe's ancestral land. And that's where the outcome hangs, David. The Pamunkey would have to prove that this land was home to their forebears and not those of the Nansemans. How would they do that?
This creates a very kind of political, historical challenge to prove that this was ancestral land. The Pamunkeys are claiming that they are citing records from early colonial settlers who talked of a federation of tribes that covered all of eastern Virginia, and they're citing that as their claim to this land in what is now modern-day Norfolk. But the colonial record's not real clear, and artifacts won't do it. A Nansemans arrowhead looks just like a Pamunkey arrowhead or any other tribe.
The Nansemans, by the way, can't build a casino. They agreed to stay out of gaming in exchange for federal recognition, and it could take 10 years or more for a federal agency or a federal court to decide this issue. David, over in Portsmouth, the city has been offered a generous gift of a sculpture to stand in a downtown roundabout, but it turns out that sometimes gifts cost money.
This story is by Anna Lay, a reporter with the Virginian Pilot. And 2 years ago, a nonprofit approached city council in Portsmouth about accepting a public art. They wanted to put something that represented the city's history of sailing, and it'd be a 22-foot tall statue, a cluster of white sails made in aluminum. And the Breeden Company, which is building a nearby condo project, which is in direct view of this roundabout, offered to pay the $100,000 cost itself.
Now, it would be a sculpture of sails, though, and there would be wind, and engineers have said that the sculpture could at some point sail away into downtown traffic, so the soil under it would have to be reinforced. And that's not cheap.
The cost for that is about $85,000. The city council would have to pay that, and that's the plan to go forward to make this gift sculpture work.
City council and supporters of the arts say they will find a way. David Poole is with the Virginia Public Access Project. I'm Fred Eccles.